To the United States now, and Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton has released an attack ad that links Republican Donald Trump to racists, white supremacists and neo-Nazis. It shows images of a grand wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, a Confederate flag and a man performing a Hitler salute.
The reason a lot of Klan members like Donald Trump is because a lot of what he believes, we believe in. Donald Trump would be best for the job.
For president.
Yeah.
I am a farmer and white nationalist. Support Donald Trump.
Sending out all the illegals, building a wall, and a moratorium on Islamic immigration. That's very appealing to a lot of ordinary white people.
Well, one US researcher says this attempt to link white, often working class people with racism isn't a new political tactic. Justin Guest has studied white working class politics in the US and the UK. He's an assistant professor of public policy at George Mason University in Washington, and I spoke to him earlier. Justin Guest, let's start with that Hillary Clinton attack ad. Donald Trump says she's trying to smear ordinary voters with accusations of racism. How do you see it?
So Donald Trump has been bewilderingly slow to disavow comments that link him to white supremacist groups. And he has made a number of innuendo-like comments that could easily be construed as racist. That said, he clearly sees this as a way of making lemonade out of lemons. For many of his supporters, they are sick and tired of being labeled racists. And they see racism as a sort of mute button, as a way of dismissing what they have to say. If you are a racist, then your opinion ceases to matter. That's the way it often feels for many of Donald Trump's supporters in the United States, and that's often the way it feels for many far-right supporters in Europe and elsewhere as well.
You write that the white working class once occupied the middle of British and American societies, and as you say, they now feel silenced, they feel ignored by mainstream political parties. How did this happen? How did they become so marginalized?
The short of it is that this began in the late 1970s when the economies of Western industrialized advanced countries began to turn away from the manufacturing sector and into the service and high technology sector. When that happened, it undermined and outmoded an enormous amount of people who were dependent on those industrial jobs. And suddenly they became poor, they became less likely to be employed, and they became less and less significant to mainstream political parties. In the current era, these particular people pose a problem for many major political parties because their views don't jive with the views of grander coalitions. Right-wing politicians are wary of embracing some of the far-right populism rhetoric because they fear that they'll alienate the moderates in the middle. Left politicians fear embracing populist rhetoric because they fear that they will alienate minority groups who are in ascendance and growing demographically from their coalition.
So from your research, how has the white working class responded to this loss of political power? Do you think this group is more radical?
Kim, they've tried pretty much everything. They have voted left, they have voted right, they have not voted. Sometimes they've turned violent and they've engaged in protest and extra institutional ways of participating in politics. None of it has seemed to work from their perspective. They don't see any real party or candidates espousing their views, speaking to them, representing them. And so finally, they have moved to support what can only be construed as anti-establishment candidates. They're trying to upend the system that once had them straight into the middle and that they were the backbone of, and they're trying to upend it because, frankly, nothing else has worked from their perspective.
Donald Trump invited Nigel Farage, the outgoing leader of the UK Independence Party, to one of his rallies yesterday. Let's just have a little listen of what Nigel Farage told that crowd.
I come to you from the United Kingdom with a message of hope and a message of optimism. It's a message that says, if the little people, if the real people, if the ordinary decent people are prepared to stand up and fight for what they believe in, we can overcome the big banks. We can overcome the multinationals.
So, Justin Guest, what's the significance of Nigel Farage, a British politician, getting onto a stage at a rally in Mississippi months out from a US election and talking about little people, ordinary people, decent people?
Well, I think this makes it official. We officially have a transatlantic right-wing phenomenon. The rise of the radical right, the rise of the far right, has been in motion for a number of years now, and it has really peaked in many European countries, such as Switzerland, where you have the Swiss Democrats Party, the Swedish Democrats in Sweden, the Freedom Party in the Netherlands, and a number of others in Austria, Denmark, and France, like the Front National. These parties are garnering a quarter, sometimes even half, the national vote, as in the case of Austria. And finally, that trend came to Britain recently with UKIP, which was a more palatable version of some of the far-right parties that previously occupied that space, like the British National Party, which is sort of an equivalent to the Australia First Party. And finally, now in the United States, we see that trend has come here with Donald Trump. And of course, the reason why this took so long to come to the United States and to Britain is because these are two-party systems that are first past the post in their election institutions. And so it's very hard for third parties to really make a dent. But in this case, you have a significant, substantial number of people who feel alienated and marginalized from the mainstream parties such that a third party can be born. And that is basically what Donald Trump has done. Now, yes, he is a Republican nominally by name. However, you'll notice that very few of his Republican counterparts actually support him. And he really is running against much of the what has been a traditional Republican conservative platform in the United States from a historic perspective.
Justin Guest, thank you very much for speaking to The World today.
My pleasure.
Justin Guest, an assistant professor of public policy at George Mason University in the US, and his new book is The New Minority: White Working Class Politics in an Age of Immigration and Inequality.